chapter 2. Yesterday was the 11th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks on the World Trade Center. And I believe that is one of those incidents and one of those events that you remember where you were when it happened. If you don't remember, like Gary was saying this morning, you're probably dead. It was a defining moment in the history of this country. Because personally, I believe on that day, America lost its innocence. America lost its vulnerability. And right afterwards, you saw this nation come together like it hadn't done in a very long time. People were gathering around praying. People were all of a sudden thinking about God and going to church. And I remember where I was when it happened. It was on a Tuesday. I was in Lagos, Nigeria. We had had staff meeting that morning. It's also, as my routine is, after staff meeting, I go home, try and get something to eat, and I turn on CNN. And there it was. And I was in shock. Because as it was happening, they were playing the replays, I thought it was live. And I couldn't help but grab the telephone, start calling disciples in New York that I knew, trying to find out if everybody was okay. And eventually, after several hours, I was able to get a hold of one of the evangelists. And he was telling me what was going on. Some people are gathering, praying, holding hands, holding candles. And I said to him, I said, take advantage of this because this is not going to last. He said, what? I said, the same thing happened when Al-Qaeda attacked the American embassy in Nairobi. I was there when it happened, and in Tanzania on the same day. People came to church. All of a sudden, people were thinking about God. And it wore off. A few months later, people went back to their lives. I said, the same thing is going to happen in America. So you got to take advantage of this. And I'm sure you've been listening to the news the last several days and last couple of weeks. Some pastor decided he was going to mark September 11th by burning the Quran. Now, I don't know about you. I'm a minister. And when I see false teachers say things and do things, it makes me mad. Here's a guy who's a false prophet. He's got a church of about 30 people in Gainesville, Florida. We don't want to be known for that. And he was going to do it. Different people tried to persuade him not to do it, that would endanger American lives and American troops. Already the Muslims out there, they were just, burning American flags and marching. Why would you want to do something stupid like that? I would get mad if somebody got up and burnt a Bible. I don't believe in Islam. I don't believe you're going to get to heaven through Islam. But you don't win people over by burning the book they hold sacred. Oh, I have a right to do this. This is America. But it's dumb. It's very interesting. We were on the plane going up to Boston. We took our daughter on a college visit. And there's this lady sitting next to me. She saw me reading my Bible. We're talking. I said, well, I'm a minister. And that was the first question out of her mouth. What do you think of that guy in Florida that wants to burn the Quran? That was the first thing she asked me. said, I don't agree with it. I said, the guy's a nut. I said, I would feel horrible if anybody got up and burned the Bible to make a statement. But people are allowed to burn the American flag. I'm sorry. You do not put the American flag at the same level as the book. They are two different things. Amen? There are a lot of things that people have the freedom to do in this country. It doesn't make it right. Personally, I believe sometimes we're too free, to be very honest with you. Take that from an outsider. Amen? You see, where am I going with this? The title of my lesson this morning is, Have You Forgotten? See, too many times we forget about things. I believe America will remember this commemoration of 9/11 because of that guy in Florida. You're going to remember this one. And at some point, he decided, okay, I'm not going to do it. Praise God for that. Now, I don't know about you. I don't want that kind of publicity. Yeah, radical Islamists have hijacked their religion. But that doesn't make all Muslims horrible people. I don't agree with them. But there's a way to win them over. It's not by antagonizing them. That's not the way to do it. And I'm thankful he came to his senses. Said he will never do it. But again, what that has done is put the idea into a lot of people's minds. And you watch. You're going to start seeing on the internet very soon a bunch of bozos getting together, burning the Quran. That's not the way to do this. Amen? But you see, Jesus died for us. He sacrificed his life for us. Every Sunday, he reminds us to commemorate his dying on the cross for us by taking part in the Lord's Supper. That's why we do it every week. The Bible commands us to do it. But you see, a lot of times we forget about things. But you see, one thing in church we must never forget is where we came from. You may have heard it said, if you don't know where you came from, you probably don't know where you're going. I know where I came from. I know what my life would be like if it wasn't for Jesus, if it wasn't for the cross, if it wasn't for Christianity. I know what kind of marriage I would have. I know what kind of kids I would have. I know what my life would be all about. And that's what motivates me, and that's what keeps me going on a daily basis. You and I can never forget where we came from. And I think too many times as Christians, if we're not careful, we forget where we came from. And we become religious. Instead of being disciples of Jesus, we become churchgoers. Instead of true disciples of Jesus, there is a difference. There's always been a difference, and there will continue to be a difference. Amen, church? Amen. We must never forget where we came from. 1 Peter chapter 2, a passage we're very familiar with, in verse 9. He says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Amen? Amen. This is the Apostle Peter reminding us where we came from. He says, you know, at one point, we didn't belong to God's family. But he says, now, you're a holy nation. You're a chosen race. You know, a lot of times, you know, you're filling out forms, or you go somewhere and they ask you, what's your race? The next time somebody asks you that question, tell them Christian. That's what I am. That's what you are. Amen? Amen? I'm not an African. I'm a Christian. Who happens to be African? You're a Christian who happens to be white. You're a Christian who happens to be black. You're a Christian who just happens to be Latin. You understand what I'm saying? We're chosen race. That's the important thing. Amen? He says, at one time we were not a people, but now we're the people of God. At one time we have received no mercy, but now we have mercy. That you and I may declare God's praises. Have you forgotten what it feels like to be an outsider? I don't know how it was for you growing up. You know how it is when, you know, kids are getting together and they're playing a game and they don't choose you because you're not very good at it? Or maybe you were the last one chosen? It's a horrible feeling. And you're standing there on the sidelines, you're waiting, you know, so you can go into the game. It's horrible to be an outsider. I don't like the feeling. But you see, before you and I became Christians, believe it or not, we were outsiders. Now the problem was, we didn't know we were outsiders. We didn't know any better. We thought our lives were awesome. Until we became Christians, and then we look back and go, whoops! Thank God for salvation. Amen? Now, we all had problems. We all had issues. But we thought life was great. Until we became Christians, God changed our lives for a reason. He says that you and I may declare His praises. How's that going, church? Oh, bro, we need that message. Oh, thank you so much for talking about that. I'm not interested in that. What are you doing about it? What are you going to change as a result of this? That's the issue. You know, so a couple of months ago, the campus ministry in our fellowship of churches, they've had several, you know, conferences, but they were having the one for the U.S. this year in Chicago. And we decided to send Fred over there. Fred is a campus student. He's going to school online at Liberty University. God willing, he should be getting his bachelor's in management next spring. And we sent him over there. And he had a great time. He really did. Several years ago, that whole conference, we just had about 300 students. In Chicago, they had over 4,000 students. Things are happening, folks. It's exciting. Makes you want to go back to school. I'm going to talk about that in a second. And he went over there, came back. I said, bro, how was he? He said, man, he was fantastic. He was awesome. And a few days later, I'm talking to him on his own. Nobody asked him. He said, bro, I want to get out. He couldn't wait for Gwinnett College to open up, and they've opened up now. They started about a couple of weeks ago. He said, I want to get out there, and I want to get 100 new telephone numbers of people I want to start the Bible with. Nobody asked him. On Tuesday of that week, he went out and he did 50 telephone numbers. Not just, hi, there's my name, I want you to invite me to church. He got their telephone numbers. 50. The following day, he went back and he finished it up. Nobody asked him to do that. Why? Because he understands that, you know what? People on this campus need to get saved. Now, I don't know about you. When I read my Bible, the people that had the most impact on their generation and on the world, it wasn't the youth. It was people that are our age. Grown men and women, married with kids. Because we have a lot of things going compared to the students. We have wisdom, prayerfully. Because we've experienced life. These kids don't know squat, okay? They think they do, but they don't. We got wisdom on our side because life has taught us some things. Okay? Now, we're able to work, and so we got some money in the pocket. All right? They got no money. All right? That's why they try and get some of yours. Okay? But they have no money. We have a lot of things going for us. But the question is, what are we doing? You see, we've allowed the anxieties of this life and the worries of this life to choke out what we are meant to be doing and who we are meant to be. We can never forget where we came from. You know, it was awesome, you know, going up there and to Boston. Again, to me, the Boston church right now, in our brotherhood of churches, they have the best campus ministry. There are about 30 campuses in that general area. You know, my wife and I had the opportunity, we had dinner with Douglas and Joyce Arthur. They lead the church. And we're sitting, we're just talking. The budget, get this church, the budget for their interns, campus interns, these are not the full-time people, the budget for their campus interns is similar to the budget of our entire church. That is how much they're putting into these kids to make sure that they do well. Okay, if you see my daughter running around trying to, you know, encourage your kids to apply to Boston, I mean, it was incredible. We did the tour on Friday morning and evening, and then Gina had a chance to go to their campus Devo. And while we were waiting for her, these two sisters woke up and they said, you know what, let's go invite that couple to church, to our Devo. And they woke up and they're inviting us to Devo. And we smile and say, hey, we're disciples from Atlanta. Oh, really? This is fantastic, you know. And then the other sisters that were meant to meet my daughter, you know, showed up. It was awesome. And so obviously afterwards, we pick up the next morning. And I said, so Gina, how was it? I said, what time did Devo end? I knew they were starting at 8. He said, they ended at 11. I said, from 8 to 11? She said, Dad, and it was awesome. And that's the way it is every week. I was like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Because what it did for me was I was reminded of my conversion and how things used to be when I was in college. Isn't that what we want for our kids? You guys know me. I don't hide anything. You know, I don't want all these kids to become Christians in their teen years and then they go off to campus and then they fall away. When I just go to any school, the number one reason for us to go to any college is they got to have a great campus ministry. If not, we're not going there. That's my attitude. That's where we start from. We said, wait a second. Isn't you a junior? Why are you doing campus visits? All the more reason. See, this time next year, that's when you start applying to schools. You got to do the visits before then. So how was it? Dad, I'm moving here. There's no ifs or buts about it. I said, okay. But see, we got to remember where we came from. A lot of us in here, we're parents, our kids are in middle school, they're in high school. I talked to some of us. So what's happening with your son with this, or what's happening with your daughter with this? Well, is there whatever? Say, excuse me? You are the parent. That's your job. To help these kids get in school. I understand that they're teenagers. You say, Richard, how do you do it? I'll tell you what I did. I told my daughter, I said, the top 10 schools you want to go to, just list them. And we'll take it from number one and just keep going down. I said, now I want you to get me all the information. You get on the internet, she's going to do some work. You're going to get on the internet, find out how much it is, find out where it is, find out what the requirements are to get in, all these different things. A few days later, I asked her, how's it going? Oh, I'm working on it, Dad. Here's my flash drive. I want that information on that flash drive by this date. And she did it. Amen? I'm not going to do all the work for her. But church, let me tell you something. Those of you who have done this, there's a big difference between seeing all that stuff on the internet than being there physically. It makes a big difference, especially when there are Christians there. It just changes everything. Amen? So all I'm saying is start early. We got an email from another sister who's a member of this congregation. She goes, you know what? Don't pay for your kids' education. There is so much money out there. She got 3 university degrees from 2 top-notch universities in this country. Close to $500,000, and she paid zippo. But you got to start the work early. This time next year, if your child is a senior, it's too late. I mean, a lot of people, believe it or not, a lot of these guys that are millionaires and whatever, when they die, they don't just give all that money to their kids. A lot of them give it to education. They set up foundations and scholarships. There's so much money out there. It doesn't have to cost you a penny. That's the point I'm making. Amen? But you got to start early. Oh, my son, this or my daughter. That's why you're the parent. Oh, they're an adult now. Show me the scripture where it says you stop being a parent, even although your kid's an adult. You never stop being a parent. Amen? Amen? Like I said, these kids think they know it all. They don't. They don't know jack. But there's a part we got to play. Amen? Amen? Very, very important. You see, as a non-Christian, I was selfish, I was arrogant. You couldn't tell me anything. I looked down on people, I thought I was better than everybody else. My attitude was, I will show you. You think you know me? You don't. You're looking at a changed disciple. Before I became a Christian, I had a temper so bad. You said something, I would grab whatever I could lay my hand and knock you over the head with it. And look and say, so what are you going to do about it? I dare you to take another step forward. It was terrible. Well, God changed all that. Amen? God changed you too. Look in Titus chapter 3. We're different men and women now. But have we forgotten where we came from? Have we forgotten what God has saved us from? Look in Titus chapter 3, in verse 5. You can back up to verse 4. It says, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, verse 5, He saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Christ Jesus our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on this thing so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people. Amen? Says, you know what? God saved us, not because of righteous things we had done. But then at the end there, you notice? He says we need to devote ourselves to doing good. Doing is actually in the Bible. Doing. Oh, I don't do anything, you know, because I don't want to get legalistic. That's not scripture. God saved us to do good works. God saved us to do certain things. Amen? I got no problems with doing. Now, if you're doing stuff, thinking that's going to get you to heaven, now you got a problem. You don't understand grace. Amen? But we do good, we do excellent works, we do good works because we are saved. Because we remember where we came from. Are you with me? You remember what your life and your marriage would be like without God. We've been saved. Relax. But there's work to be done. Amen? A lot of work to be done. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Is it hot in here or is it just me? Man, somebody's not over yet, man. They can't turn off the AC. It's all right. It's just heat. We're not going to melt. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 26. Says, Paul writes, "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord." Passages like this, church, ought to make you very secure. He says, think of it when you were called. Not many of you were of noble birth. Is there any royalty in the house? Or is it just me? You're laughing. I am royalty from where I come from. I just don't use the prince in front of my name. See, not many of us were powerful. I don't see any big time Republicans or Democrats in here. If people mention our name, who are you talking about? Our names don't appear in the Atlanta Constitution, the AJC, the Atlanta Journal Constitution. What is it called? I read online. I never buy it. Your name is not going to show up in there. People don't know who you are. But God says, you know what? God chose people like that to shame the wise. It don't bother me that people don't know who I am right now in this world. I don't care. I really don't. Never have. When they get to heaven, they're going to find out who you are, though. Did you hear what I just said? On the other side, your neighbors are going to find out who you are. But I pray it doesn't get to that, that they know now. Now, you know what? You're a Christian. Because you're reaching out to them. You're changing, you're trying to change their life. Amen? But we should be secure in who we are as Christians. Now, the question is, why are you insecure? Let me just ask that. Why are you insecure? You see, a lot of it, again, I believe, is because obviously we live in a world where everybody's graded. The kind of work you do, the kind of money you make, where you went to school or where you didn't go to school, whatever it is. That's just the life we live in. But there's nothing to be ashamed of. I hope that we all understand that we live in a world now where education is your key out. It's always been that way. And that's why, you know, I get very excited and very encouraged when I see adults go back to school. That's not a sin. Some of us need to go back to school. You heard me? I've been saying it for years. A brother called me up the other day. He goes, "You know, Rich, I want to seek some advice." I say, "Yeah, what's going on?" I say, "You know, I'm thinking of going to law school. It's something I've always wanted to do for a long time. I listen." My first question, I said, "How does your wife feel about this?" He's married. I said, "Think about it. Your life is going to change. You need to really count the cost. Law school is hard. You're trying to have a baby." I said, "You got to count the cost on it. Because you're still going to have 24 hours in a day. And you still need to be a great disciple. Law school or no law school." I told him, I asked him to seek advice from other brothers who are lawyers in the church. But I was encouraged he wanted to do it. He thought I was going to say, "Oh, don't do it." I said, "Bro, go for it. Those were my words." Kyle went back to school. A lot of all of us in here went back to school. Billy's in school right now. Sometimes you need to, you know, go learn another skill or do something. It's important. You got time. Amen? Oh, Richard, I'm almost 50. All the more reason. Amen? There's nothing to be ashamed of. If you need to go get more education, if you need to go get another skill so you can, you know, get a little bit more money coming in so you can pay the bills, then so be it. That's what you need to do. Just don't do it at the expense of your relationship with God. And it's amazing how God works, honestly. When your heart's in the right place, when you're seeking God first, when that is the most important thing, all these things God will put in place for you. You say, well, I want to do graduate work. There's not much money for doing graduate studies. Really? I can give you a whole website. I can give you two websites where they will throw money at you to go back to school. But if you don't know, ask. That's the thing that bothers me. You know, I talk to people and they got all the answers. It's like, that's not true. Who are you? Who are you talking to? Where are you getting all this information from? Ask, and it will be given to you. Ask, and it will be told to you. Ask you, and you'll be pointed in the right direction. Amen? But we can't forget where we came from. Things are getting harder. This world is becoming very, very competitive. Extremely competitive. You walk into a place these days, the first thing they want to find out is, where's your piece of paper? That's what they want to know. If you lose a job, to get another one, the first thing, where's the piece of paper? Oh, I got 26 years of experience. Good. Where's the piece of paper? They will take a guy and hire a guy who's got a piece of paper with less experience. Hello. Amen? I've told our kids, and I'm saying it again, going to college is not an option. I expect every single one of them to go to college. Because if they don't, they're going to be struggling in life, and it's going to affect their relationship with God later. It's bound to happen. I have seen this movie before many, many times. Amen? That's what we need to do. It's awesome. I love our kids. They love God. The other day, I went to visit Carl. He's laid back. He's home, you know, recuperating from his left knee replacement. Again, I encourage you to stop by if you haven't done so already. Amen? I was talking to him, and his daughter Allison, they were talking about something in some class at school. She's in high school. And they're having this debate in the class. And people are talking about this. There was a particular subject. And she remembered that, you know what? The Bible says something about this. And she had her Bible in her bag. And she brought it out. And she said, I don't know where it is, but I know it's somewhere in Leviticus. You know, that's where all the laws are. She knew that much. And it's amazing. The Holy Spirit led her to the passage. And she raised her hand and said, excuse me, I got something to say about this. Here's what the Bible says about this. And she read it. And the whole class kept quiet. The debate ended. At the end of the class, the teacher looked at her and said, you know what? Nobody has ever opened up a Bible in my class before. All this worldly wisdom. You gotta crack open the book. It's all here. You know, she came when she was so excited. She said, Dad, you're not gonna believe what happened. She goes, it was the Holy Spirit. Because I didn't know where it was. And there it was. That's the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you. Leviticus is a big book. Okay, I've been a Christian a long time. Every time I get a new Bible, okay, and I have one right now. It's hard to find things. Because the older ones, you know, I've marked everything. I know where things are. It's like, where's that passage again? I'm looking for the thing. I'm praying. He said, Lord, help me. I don't know where it is. I know it's in here somewhere. But the Spirit led her to it. That was not an accident. People are looking for answers.
Oh, Richard, I don't know what to do. I don't know what I'm going to say. The Holy Spirit will guide you. Amen? Just open up the Bible. This is what changed you. This was going to change people.
It's funny, as God would have it, this lady I was talking about, she was going up for some funeral. And she said, by the way, what? I said, we're coming back home Saturday night. We're on this flight. She goes, oh, that's the same flight I'm on. And so we came back. And so this time, when we got to the airport, I said, oh, I'd love for you to meet my wife. And because when we're going and coming back, we all had our own window seat. We all like to sit by the window. So don't bother me. Don't bother my family. So we sit separately. So anyway, I said, oh, here's my daughter. Here's my wife and everything. And believe it, from that point on, she and Sarah were talking the whole time before they called us. And at the end, she goes, Richard, I want to thank you for introducing me to your wife. Oh, you have a lovely wife. I said, yeah, I know. She's an older woman. She goes, oh, she's so wise. I'm thinking, yeah. We exchanged cars. She lives in West Palm Beach. I'm going to try and get her to the church down there. Pretty religious, you know, but that's okay. Religious people can get saved too. I used to be one. You used to be one too. But it was great. Just start talking about God. It's amazing how people react. How you see people light up. Amen? Let's close in Acts chapter 4. Let me show you something else. Church, there's a lot of work to be done in Gwinnett. I'm just reminding us. But the motivation has got to be, we've got to remember where we came from. In Acts chapter 4, you know the story. The apostles were preaching about Jesus. They grabbed them. They threatened them. They told them to stop. And I love Peter's response. In Acts chapter 4, verse 19. But Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people. For all were praising God for what had happened. Amen? Amen. Satan's primary way to stop the message from spreading is by causing you to keep your mouth shut. You got to figure that out. It's very simple. And that's why every opportunity you and I have, as we go about our day every day, you got to open your mouth. Talk about God. Hopefully what they see backs up what you're going to be saying. So if that's what we need to take care of first, then take care of that and repent. So that your words will match your life. Amen? I was really upset yesterday afternoon flying back. You know how they called your flight? And so they called the flight of, there was a group of people, I can't even remember where they were going, before, at the same gate, as we got there waiting. And somebody left their headphones on the seat. Now, these are not just ordinary headphones. These are Bose headphones. They're $200. Quality, noise reduction, they're called noise-canceling headphones. They're very, very, okay? And so this lady, in my presence, took it, and took it over to the counter. And gave it to the Delta guy and said, somebody left it on the seat. And so he announced, oh, if you left whatever, please come see me. I said, there's something wrong with this picture. I walked up to him. I said, sir. I said, the person that left that thing probably is already on board. You need to go inside and get him to make that announcement. Oh, yeah. So I sat there and I was watching him. He didn't do it. I was sitting there, I was praying the whole time. I said, Lord, okay. And I said, okay. I know, okay, vengeance is yours. Oh, boy. Lord, I'm struggling. I said, Lord, okay. Let me go see what the score is. My Gators are playing. So I got up and I went to some screen. I was looking at the score. And the whole group went in. And he got up very right up at that point. Because he was watching me. And he had the thing in his hand. And he walked right by me. And he took off. I believe he went to his car to go put it inside. Because later on he came back. I'm telling you, church, it took everything within me. I want to find out his name. I was going to write to Delta. He would have lost his job this week. And I said, okay, Lord, I know he's not going to get away with that. Father, do not make him get away with that. As a matter of fact, I pray this week, he's going to lose twice that. For that stunt he just pulled. It made me mad. Is it rich or is it because he didn't get the... I got my own, okay? I didn't need that. But that's the kind of world we live in. As we're checking in, I was tempted to look at him and go, you need Jesus. I was tempted. It was on my lips. I'm confessing. I just said, you know what? Okay, Lord. All right. Okay. People need help. Amen? There are a lot of things we see every day and we experience. God allows us to see and experience those things for a reason, so that we can change people's lives. Church, do not forget where you came from. Do not forget the things that God has saved you from. Do not forget that your life would not be what it is right now if it wasn't for Jesus. That's what it's all about. That's what I'm going to spend the rest of my life doing. And I'm just getting started. I was joking with a group this morning behind the curtain. I'm a recycled teenager. That's what I am. I'm a recycled 25-year-old. Yeah, I don't move as fast as I used to, but it's okay. There'll be a few more gray hairs, but that's all right. Amen? Amen? When the last lap of our lives, so to speak, all of us that are adults in here, let's make it count. Let's not forget where we came from. Amen? Amen. God bless you all.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day that you've given us. Thank you so much for your son Jesus who died on the cross. And I pray that we do not forget what Jesus has done for us. God, I just pray that as we leave here today, that we leave here encouraged, that we leave here, God, ready to do your will. Please be with us. Please bless us with safe traveling mercies. God, we thank you. We love you. And for all this in Jesus' name, amen. We are dismissed.